We had a good Thanksgiving slate of football. We had three straight games, a very implicating day of football, starting off with that Packer-Lion game where the Packers won their second straight game against Detroit in that divisional series. They look to be in a good spot to at least make the postseason with a couple games left to play. You had the Dallas Cowboys, who kept their playoff hopes alive, taking down the Kansas City Chiefs in a very competitive game where Dallas at home and Dak Prescott especially put together quite a good performance. Kate, first of all, how was your Thanksgiving and how was your holiday with the family? And did you have a good weekend? And let's get to the bottom of that before we continue. How are you
today? Yeah, I cannot complain about Thanksgiving. Wonderful stuff. I'm going to be honest. I am fairly exhausted. I'm coming off of back-to-back days at Disney, 12 hours on Friday at Hollywood Studios, 9 hours at Magic Kingdom on Saturday, got back to West Palm. I'm in the City Place Studios now, but got back home around like 10:30 at night, straight from Magic Kingdom. So I'm a little beat from a great weekend, but cannot complain. Food was fantastic. Football was even better.
So you went Thanksgiving Day, you celebrated, you know, Thanksgiving, which can be a crazy day in of itself. And then you did two straight days in the Disney studios.
Yeah. It's just jam-packed, not stopping. Had to wake up early. We love getting there right when the parks open. So you're up before 7. You're there at 9 when doors open. And you basically get as much action in as possible.
That's a lot. People like to say like it's fun, but that's a lot. That's a lot. That would turn, you know, hour 6. You're like, oh, boy.
Yep.
Nonetheless, you get good football today. You get college football playoff implications all throughout the day yesterday. You could bet all this on the college football, side and NFL side of things on the Hard Rock Bet app. Go download today in the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Hard Rock's the best because it caters to two types of players. The brand new player doesn't necessarily know what they want in a sports book. It's easy. The interface is it's easy to follow. It's easy to kind of pick up quickly. And on the other side of things, if you're an experienced bettor and you want to get an intricate parlay, you want to get a lot of different types of leagues, different types of teams, player props live or in the future, you could do that as well on the app. You can check out the Discover page, see what type of profit boosts that the app has available, and you can tap and tag along on other people's parlays and bets that you could check out on that Discover page. And if you bet just $5 in the app today, just $5, you win that first $5 bet, you get $150 in bonus bets immediately. It is that easy. It is on the Hard Rock Bet. Go check it out today. Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. On the college football side of things, really quickly, the big story throughout the day, it was a little put on, but it took essentially all day, and we haven't even gotten a straight answer yet. But what Lane Kiffin, former Florida Atlantic coach down there in Boca, and current Ole Miss coach, is going to be doing with his future. And after basically a standstill all throughout the day, I guess everybody was waiting to see if Alabama would lose to Auburn or Oklahoma would lose to LSU. Neither of those two things happened. Now you get a lot of team sort of waiting on the outside, trying to get into the playoff. But now the overnight reports of the Lane Kiffin saga is quote from Brett McMurphy of On3 Sports, who said that Lane Kiffin is not only expected to go to LSU, expected, there's a team meeting planning to be about right now, so we'll stay tuned for some reports. But Brett McMurphy also said last night, Lane Kiffin is, quote, essentially demanding to finish the season with Ole Miss while simultaneously threatening to poach Ole Miss's roster and staff if he can't. It's, quote, unfortunately gotten even messier than expected as emotions are high. What do I mean by this? Well, since the college football calendar is completely out of funk and whack, what it looks like is Lane Kiffin has to make a decision on whether to stay or go to LSU essentially before the season's done. Now, Ole Miss is not playing in the SEC championship game, but Ole Miss will have a college football playoff game in 3 weeks, and Lane Kiffin will not be able to coach in that game if he decides to take LSU. Now, it's a little different than coach of North Texas, Eric Morris. If they're somehow able to make the college football playoff, they're going to let him coach and then go to Oklahoma State after because it's a Group of Five gut job. Ole Miss is a little more prideful about it because it's an SEC school protecting itself from another SEC school. In my opinion, I kind of agree with the school. I don't think Lane Kiffin has the right to finish what he started if he's deciding to leave. I don't. If you want to coach the game, don't leave. There's your option. Yeah, you can't make it seem like it's a no-brainer because you're going from SEC to SEC. So I can't necessarily sit here and say that I have sympathy for Lane Kiffin because he won't be able to coach that college football playoff game. I anticipate Ole Miss is going to hang steady in their belief that he is not allowed to coach that game. And they're going to get a home game. So you're telling me that Ole Miss is going to get a home game and potentially their head coach and play caller is not going to be on the sideline. And there is not an indictment that the college football calendar is as bad as it gets. Look no further than that. And to pose another hypothetical, here's what I was looking through yesterday, kid. This is why this is a joke. Because now you're getting a sense of who's going to play in the conference championship games. And one of the big surprises was how Cal knocked off SMU yesterday. Pitt lost to Miami. Cal beat SMU. All right. Well, University of Virginia is going to the ACC championship game with a potential bid on the line. Well, after those two teams, Pitt and SMU, who are the next in line, lost. All right. What does it look like now? The ACC has four teams at 6-2 in conference, and five teams, excuse me. And the winner of that five-team tiebreaker, because it goes by in-conference opponent win record, goes to Duke. Duke, the lone unranked team of that five teams, a team that is 7-5. A team that is 7-5. They lost to UConn. They are going to the ACC championship game. And let me pose this hypothetical. If Duke were to go to that ACC title game and win and beat Virginia, who they played 2 weeks ago and lost to by 17 points. If Duke were to go to that game and win, I don't even think that there is a guarantee that Duke would get that bid, that the ACC would get that bid. Because how it stands in the college football playoff format is it's the top five conference, top five ranked top conference champions. So the SEC is obviously going to be a top-ranked conference champion. The Big 12, obviously, the SEC and Big 10. So you got three right there. There's going to be a group of five that's going to be the American winner. So whether that's going to be Tulane or North Texas. And then the other side of things, that ACC school, Duke is unranked. So if a 7-5 Duke is somehow able to steal that conference championship, is the committee going to favor 8-5 Duke? Or 12-1 James Madison, who's playing in the Sun Belt against Troy next week. James Madison, who has gotten AP votes, who is 20th in the AP poll. So that would mean that not only would the ACC not have a school represented in the college football playoff, unless Miami is going to get an at-large. I don't think they will at this point. Unless Miami gets an at-large, that would mean James Madison, and let's throw out there Tulane, are going to be the two group of five representations at the bottom of the college football playoff. So let me pose a hypothetical in that scenario. I was thinking about this last night. If that's the case, because I'm going to root for chaos, so this is definitely what I'm rooting for. If Duke were to win this game, Kate, here's how this would look. That December 19th, December 20th, first round of the college football playoff, potentially, if James Madison were to win their conference, let's say Tulane was going to win their conference, and then if Duke were to win and then therefore give James Madison that bid. Here's how this would look. James Madison, let's throw out there, Texas A&M is going to get a home game in that first round. James Madison, whose coach is probably going to take a job in the next week. Probably. He's done a great job there. That's a big, steady, upward battle. That's a climber job. He might get UCLA. You know, he's been thrown out there. That James Madison coach is going to get a job. So James Madison's going to have a game at Kyle Field, play Texas A&M. Their coach is going to be leaving. Tulane, coach John Summerall, is going to be at Florida, most likely. He's going to go to Eugene to play Oregon. So Tulane, who a coach is on his way out, is going to be going to Eugene to play Oregon. And then let's add one more. Ole Miss, let's say they're hosting Notre Dame. Their coach is not even going to be on the sideline because he left. That would be three of the four games in that first round of a team involved not having a standing coach for the foreseeable future. That to me, if that is not indicative of the biggest problem in college football, and that is the calendar, look no further than that. Okay, that would be three games with coaches potentially not on the team after that game. That's a problem.
You know, this all reminds me of our conversation we had in the NFL playoffs earlier this calendar year when the Detroit Lions were getting snubbed out of both of their coaches in the middle of a playoff run during their bye week. And I argued with with you and your father. Mad Dog was in the studio when we had this conversation too on whether NFL coaches who are not current head coaches should be allowed to interview for jobs while their current teams are in the playoff race. And you told me they should be absolutely, there should be a time period where where franchises are not allowed to interview for head coaches until the complete season is over. While I disagree with you maybe on the interview side of things when it comes to the NFL, I would love to see something like that in college football. I mean, this is ridiculous. To say that you are officially a head coach of another team at the same time you are the head coach of your current team that is going to make a playoff run is absolutely ridiculous. Tulane is simply going to be looking at the new Florida coach while he's coaching a playoff team. Is he allowed to interview for the job? I agree so. Is he allowed to lean heavily towards that job? Yes. But I don't think you should be allowed to announce a head coach of a new team while you are currently a head coach. Maybe it's not exactly like that, but the point is that these guys are already basically 1 foot in the door of their new program while they are still trying to coach a roster of young men who are trying to make their way in the world right now. This is ludicrous.
Absolutely ludicrous. And they've moved the college football transfer portal window. They pushed it back this year. Thank goodness. That's step one. It's the most avoidable problem in the history of problems. You know what another problem is? National Signing Day, which Palm Beach County will be heavily represented on the high school football side of things, is next week. So, of course, these schools and these coaches have to figure out where they're going to be next because they have to worry about the kids that are signing potentially with their teams. So you can't necessarily blame that part because these coaches can't leave and start their next season a month behind. But what you can do as the NCAA is just push everything further. Push everything a month down the line. Is that crazy?
No.
Is that crazy?
No, absolutely not.
Because it's going to hurt the games knowing that it would hurt the games, James Madison being there, period. But James Madison and Tulane being there with coaches that are not standing with them after the game. And then Ole Miss, who's Lane Kiffin won't even be on the sideline. And he'll be at LSU. And then he's got his assistant leading the way with the team, with the coach bailed on them in the middle of the season.
I mean, essentially,
that is the most avoidable problem ever. Continue.
Essentially, if you guys are watching on the YouTube stream, you'll see my hands basically making a description, right? Okay, so you have the regular season. This is how it used to be. You have the regular season. You have the postseason. This is the season of football. And you have the offseason, where all of that back-end stuff is supposed to happen. Those are not two distinct things anymore. They are starting to overlap more and more and more to where we are now muddling ourselves with what is the actual season and what is the off season of the next season. Next season and this season are starting to cross over way too much, and it's hurting the current season that we are in.
Yeah, the NCAA would be very annoyed. The College Football Playoff Committee should be very annoyed, not only with how yesterday played out, because they got an impossible decision on figuring out which of those two at-large teams are going to be, whether it be Bama, Notre Dame, Miami, Vanderbilt has a case. Texas now has a case after beating Texas A&M on Friday night. So they got that problem to figure out, and there's probably no right answer to that problem. And then after that, they're going to have a bunch of first-round games, potentially without an ACC representative. So they're going to get a worse game in that first round. And one of the teams hosting that said first round game is not going to have a coach. And then two of the other teams that are visiting, our coaches are going to be having other jobs, the withstanding in another job. So that's just a major crap storm of an avoidable problem that starts with the calendar. Fix the calendar. That's the easiest way to do this. Fix the college football calendar. Lane Kiffin should not be talking with other coaches after rivalry week. He should not be talking with other players for signing day after rivalry week. Lane Kiffin should not be allowed to sign with another team after rivalry week. If Jimbo Fisher wants to come out of the woodworks, come out of the radio studio to go coach a team, he could do that, no problem. But for you have somebody under contract with another team, they should be allowed to finish the season and not have the pressure of next year come in and bite them. That's the bottom line. It's the most avoidable problem ever. I don't understand why this is continuing to be a thing. I don't understand what the committee's obsession is with having this be a news cycle worthy period when they got the games. Don't you want to have like a regular season or an open season after the season? Because then it can, you stay in the news cycle. People are still talking about it. It's fun. It's interesting. It's like NFL regulars. It's like the NFL free agency. It's like that. It's like the combine. It's like having a set period in the offseason where you can do stuff like this. And the fact is that you don't need the rivalry week to be dominated by Lane Kiffin. You don't need that. And that's what we're doing today. And we're part of the problem. But you don't need Lane Kiffin's where he's going to be to dominate post-rivalry weekend discourse. Ohio State played Michigan, and everybody forgot that game happened because of Lane Kiffin, because of Oklahoma almost losing, and because of the Alabama-Auburn game, which was a terrific finish yesterday, and then finishing off with Cal knocking off SMU to take their playoff hopes and throw them out the window. It's been a weird, weird 24 hours. But it just turns to it just goes to show that it is still an imperfect product. The format of the college football playoff is still probably not perfect. And we haven't even brought up the fact how Miami is going to give the committee a very hard decision. Notre Dame is going to be in a lot of trouble potentially getting in. Alabama is probably going to get in regardless of what happens next week. And then we have a bunch of teams that are not going to have coaches. Now, let me say one thing. John Summerall for Tulane is going to be able to coach the playoff game. Eric Morris for North Texas is going to be able to coach the playoff game. If James Madison's coach eventually leaves, he will be allowed to coach that game because that is a group of five school. It is an upgrade. It is a no-brainer for the school to take that, the coach to take that next job. This is a no-brainer. So you can't blame them for that, but you can blame the NCAA for organizing that timing. That's what you can do. That's on the college football side of things. In the meantime, college football, you know what all this talk has got me riled up for? For the teams that are not going to be performing in the college football playoff and the teams that are going to be coming, heading down south to Boca to perform in the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, it's back for its 12th season. Tuesday, December 23rd, 2 p.m., Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. The Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans will air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from that group of five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at BocaBowl and Facebook.com/BocaBowl for more updates as we inch closer to that 2025 Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans, new name, Tuesday, December 23rd, down at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Back to the NFL slate of what happened on Thursday. A couple big things happened. Number one, Kansas City, 6-6, might not make the postseason. And then Dallas, on the other hand, is going to be knocking on the door of that NFC postseason race and the wild card. Why does the next 2 weeks matter more for Dallas? They beat the Eagles. They beat the Chiefs. Next Thursday, they get the Lions. And the Lions now, after losing to the Packers in that first game on Thanksgiving, are now going to be on the outside looking in on that NFC playoff race. And with the Bears beating the Eagles on Friday, it looks like the Lions are going to be a wild card team. All right, well, that's a major problem knowing that the Lions lost their head-to-head season series against the Green Bay Packers. And on top of that, they lost to the Cowboys. So the Cowboys, if they're the same record as the Lions at some point, I know they have a tie to their name, so I'm not sure how that would work. But the Lions would be on the outside looking in. If we had to call it right now, there are going to be six teams knocking on the door for playoff bids in the NFC West and the NFC North. Five are only going to get in. I'd make an argument today that that team might be the Lions, who is left out. That's where I'm at, and I love the Lions. I think the Lions are fun to watch. I think they had a good offense, and they had a lot of players. They can't win a big game now. When Dan Campbell said post-NFC championship game where they had the 17-point lead in the first half and they blew it, and he said that might have been our only chance, was he right? Was he right, Cade?
Dude, I didn't want him to be. I didn't want him to be.
The finish of Detroit. Have we seen that? I'm not saying they're done, but, you know, they still could win a couple games. But they're slipping, and they're slipping down a slippery slope right now. The Lions might not be in the postseason because they got Seattle, 49ers, the Rams. Three teams that all have better schedules the rest of the way than the Lions. The Lions still have to deal with the Rams, too, head-to-head. And then you've got the Bears, who continue to win, who are looking at the NFC North title, and the Packers, who are right behind them, who play the Bears head-to-head. Lions are in a very precarious position, and I'd make an argument today that that team is going to be the one left out because I think Dallas is going to beat them on Thursday. I do.
You know, this is where we need our old friend Paul Hembo back, because I want to ask him what it would what the Lions' record would look like if they went for a field goal every time they went for a fourth down in opposing territory. because at this point, you have to stop and get some points on the board. That has been the Achilles heel of this Lions team all year long. When Dan Campbell came in, he was Mr. Go for it on fourth down for majority of the time it worked. And yeah, you know, he definitely still is, but for the majority of the time and earlier in his tenure, it worked. And all of this crazy AI stuff, AWS and everyone doing all of these statistics, it still is better for you to go for it. But at some point, you just have to understand that you're just not getting these conversions as much as you want to, and you have to start putting points on the board. Would love to see if they could have gotten one, maybe two wins extra if they had actually just put points on the board, because teams know that they're going to have to play them four downs, and they're going to change all of their coverages for that fourth down. It's not going to be as easy for the Lions as, oh, we're surprising them with going for it right now. The Lions need to be more efficient on first and second down, and they need to start putting up points on the board because their defense certainly is not helping them on the back end. You allow 34, what was it, to the Giants last week? You allowed the Packers to walk all over you on Thanksgiving in your home territory? It's just unacceptable from the Lions right now and how they're playing calling it this year. 7-5? 7-5? No, don't like it.
31-24 final score. The Packers defeated the Lions in Ford Field. The Lions dropped to 7-5. Packers improved to 8-3-1. We got the rest of Week 13 happening today. We got to look into it. Let's do our quick look ahead, presented by Jay Zolo and Associates.
Time now for a quick look, presented by the QuickBooks Pro experts at Jay Zolo and Associates. Since 1997, Jay Zolo and Associates has been helping Palm Beach County businesses with their accounting and bookkeeping needs. From expert QuickBooks services to getting your business finances in order, their team has the knowledge and experience to help.
Well, our Week 13 quick look ahead, presented by Jay Zolo and Associates, that leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. All right, so we saw the Thanksgiving slate of football. What does this mean? It means, number one, the Chicago Bears are in a steady position. If they split against Green Bay and beat the Browns, they're likely going to be looking at a home playoff game and an NFC North title. That is going to be their goal the rest of the year. If you asked us 6 weeks ago, the goal was just to flirt with the postseason. Now, everything changes, and the Bears got to look to make the postseason. So that was what happened on Friday. Packers put themselves in a good position to make the postseason with still a couple weeks to play. And the Cowboys starting to knock on the door again. And we have questions about the Baltimore Ravens after falling to the Cincinnati Bengals in that nightcap. What's to look for today? Number one, the Colts are taking on the Texans. Last time we saw the Texans, they knocked off the Buffalo Bills on Thursday Night Football. The Colts dropped a double-digit lead to the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. And now it looks like Daniel Jones has a hurt fibula, a small fracture in his fibula, in his leg. I saw a video of him trying to do a handoff in practice earlier this week, and it did not look good. Now you have questions about Daniel Jones' health. Will he be 100% at any point the rest of the year? They take on the Texans, who probably have the best defense in the entire league, and they definitely have one of the best front sevens and especially pass rushing tandems that you could find in the NFL. Daniel Jones is going to be under a lot of pressure today because if they were to lose to the Texans, Colts still have one more against the Texans after today and two more against Jacksonville on top of hard interdivisional games upcoming. The Colts are in a big, tough spot to see if they can stay alive in that AFC race. And with a hurt quarterback, I don't know if I love their chances. That's game number one, 1 p.m. on CBS. Another big game to keep your eye on are the San Francisco 49ers going to Cleveland to take on the Browns. The San Francisco 49ers have two easy games, quote unquote, easy games between this and the Tennessee Titans coming up next week, and they're 8-4. Can they get to 10 wins? Can they get to that lucky number 11 that should all but guarantee a playoff spot? 10, they're gonna need a little bit of help with tiebreakers, and on top of that, if they're able to get to that 11 win mark, you're looking at San Francisco, who hasn't played well, who has gotten the injury bug all year, making the postseason potentially over the Lions. Shedeur Sanders making his second start for the Cleveland Browns. They won last week over the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, I should say. And now Shedeur Sanders has a lot of expectations because everybody was wondering if the coaching staff failed him. And now that he's got a week of film under it, can he continue to stay hot? Can they continue to perhaps win a game? Myles Garrett has got 18 sacks. And he needs to get to 22.5 between now and the end of the year. Basically looking at a sack a game, he can totally do that. That's another game you're keeping your eye on. The Vikings are taking on the Seahawks. The Seahawks are 8-3. Vikings are 4-7. The Vikings last week played the Packers, and J.J. McCarthy was terrible. Nothing short of awful. He did absolutely nothing good for them, and he hasn't played well to this point this year. Another problem with J.J. McCarthy is it's the second time he's going to miss considerable time now that he's in concussion protocol. Next man up from Minnesota, and Max Brosmer, the former Golden Gopher for the University of Minnesota, is going to be taking the reins at quarterback. And people are starting to wonder if this kid shows you a little something, especially as a Kevin O'Connell-led quarterback, can he make things interesting in the quarterback room for the Minnesota Vikings? They go to Seattle to play 4:05 on Fox. Bills play the Steelers today on the road in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers is back, and the Buffalo Bills, sitting at 7-4 with a long week, haven't played well, lost two of their last three. They're still in a good spot to make the postseason, especially with a head-to-head over Kansas City. But Buffalo clearly has their kinks in the armor and clearly has some weaknesses that they're looking to kind of work out here, as Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes have each had their fair share of struggles. Joe Burrow has been hurt, and the other three definite best quarterbacks in the National Football League, if you were talking to us before the season, all three are in danger of not only not winning their division, but some are in danger of not making the postseason, especially with Baltimore and with Kansas City. So we see if Josh Allen can go on the road and beat Pittsburgh. That will be your quick look ahead in Week 13 edition, presented by Jay Zolo and Associates, that leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. We'll look through some of the big headlines and we'll rank them. On the other side of things, it's Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Philly 88, Dice right, 52, Orlando right, HD.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. The Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. Listen, if you're in South Florida and you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, fell on the stairs, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're the type to fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo and Cade Chumslin with you. It's Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. One thing Cade does every week is he puts together five different headlines, and he gives it to me in a random order. It is my determination to figure out which one is the biggest one, which one is not the biggest one, and we'll put them one through five. Let's do our headline hierarchy.
Five mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Cade's part.
One Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big-time headline.
It's time for the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Yes, sir, Colin. Let's get right into it. The headline hierarchy. And we're going back to Thursday night real quick. That third game in the Thanksgiving Day slate was the Bengals versus the Ravens. Joe Burrow's first game back from injury since week two. He comes in and he dominates. Well, at least the field goal game did, and the defense. Bengals win it 32-14, but I'm not talking about the Bengals. I want to talk about the Ravens for a second, because Lamar Jackson obviously had a poor performance. But I did not realize, Colin, he was dealing with his fourth different injury in this game. So far in 2025, Lamar Jackson has been reported to have a hamstring injury, knee, ankle, and toe most recently. Colin, at 6-6 for the Baltimore Ravens, with Lamar Jackson's legs basically wrapped in duct tape right now, do the Ravens have any chance at the playoffs?
That was a crucial game that they needed. Are they dead? No. But do they need a lot of help the rest of the way? Absolutely. They need Jacksonville and Buffalo to lose a couple games, and that's what they're eyeing on right now. You know, the Ravens don't have a head-to-head against Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is a fairly easy schedule the rest of the way. They got two still against the Tennessee Titans, one of which is today, and they also have Kansas City, who they lost to head-to-head on top of that. So Baltimore the rest of the way is going to need help. They used to control their own destiny. They could still wait. I mean, they could technically go 5-0 and finish it at 11-6,
But they have the Packers on the road. They have the Patriots, the Steelers twice, and the Bengals. Are they going 5-0 there? They're not. Best case scenario, they could probably go 4-1, but that is wishful thinking. This is a team that did not play well against the Bengals on Thursday. They played terrible against the Jets on the previous Sunday, and they played even worse against the Browns on the road the week before that. And this is a team that also didn't play well against the Vikings the week before that with J.J. McCarthy. So they don't deserve to make the postseason. It's not like they're getting screwed out of this. Lamar's clearly not himself. He's clearly not healthy, and he hasn't played well. And when he doesn't have his rushing ability to kind of cater and suit to his passing ability, he's not nearly the same player. It's been the story of his career. So I sit here and say, Lamar, you're in a little bit of trouble. What's number two?
Well, where do you...
This is going to be number four.
Number four, go the Ravens. All right, next up, staying in the AFC North. Shedeur Sanders was the first Cleveland Browns quarterback to start to make his first start and win since the late 1990s. I believe there were 41 or 42 other quarterbacks since then who all failed to pass that test. He beats the Raiders last week, and it was reported earlier this week that Shedeur Sanders has the starting job for the Browns for the remainder of the season pending poor play. It is Shador's team for the rest of 2025. Colin, was this the right move for Cleveland?
Yes. Now, Kate, I got a little bit of echo. But the one thing about this Brown team is they needed to figure out which of the two rookie quarterbacks they liked. And whether that be Dylan Gabriel, whether that be Shedeur Sanders, nobody really had an idea, but the idea is you wanted to give them a fair enough shot either way. Shador's getting the rest of the way on his end, the rest of the season, and Dylan Gabriel got his 6-7 games. Is it a fair sample size? Probably not. But that's what happens when you draft two quarterbacks in the same draft. Is Shedeur any good? I don't know yet. Still got a little bit of return. But the one thing about this Brown team is they didn't put themselves in a position to give this team, to give these quarterbacks a fair shot. But is Shedeur any good? I don't know. And I think we're going to find out in the next 6-7 weeks if he's going to be worth it. I'm good now. If he's going to look any good.
Towards a complete explosion of general manager gone, coach gone, a lot of the team gone. I mean, this team's not a quarterback away. They have a lot bigger problems. They have glaring offensive issues everywhere. They have a good defense, glaring offensive issues everywhere. I don't know what Shedeur Sanders needs to do to give them enough confidence to run him back next year. It's going to be a little bit more than what he showed this far, and I guess he's got 5-6 weeks to figure it out. That's going to be the goal. This, to me, is going to be number five. I don't think this is not playoff implicating. This is offseason implicating. Therefore, I'm putting this Brown story with Shedeur at number five.
Sounds good. You've got your top three left, Colin.
Still available. Yep.
So third one on our headline hierarchy. Again, I've got a lot of stuff from the AFC North. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers is in today against the Buffalo Bills after missing last week, but his left tackle, Broderick Jones, is out. This is another blow on a injury-riddled Steelers offensive line. They're fighting for their playoff lives right now at 6-5 with the Ravens at 6-6 and the sneaky Bengals at 4-8, but against the Buffalo Bills team with a lot to play for at 7-4, coming off an extra long week on a loss against the Texans, it's not going to be an easy task. Where are your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, the Steelers are in the same boat as the Baltimore. They need help from everybody else, and they have the two head-to-head against the Ravens coming up. The winner of those two, if they split, then we're really at a stalemate. But if one of those two teams are able to win both of those, that team's going to make the postseason. That team's going to get a home game. That's going to be the division that a 9-win team is going to get a home playoff game. That's going to be that division. Now, is Baltimore and or Pittsburgh dead with the injuries? No. But it's going to be a limp to the finish line moment for just about both of them because they're going to get a home playoff game, but I don't think either of those two teams are deserving of a home playoff game. That's just how this goes. There's always one team a year that kind of steals a bad division and then gets a home playoff game. The winner of their head-to-head is going to determine who wins that division. And the Steelers and the Ravens both have tricky games the rest of the way. I would say in terms of schedule rest of the way, favor barely goes to the Steelers because they still have a game against the Browns. But difficult schedules either way. This, to me, is going to be number three.
Sounds good. Now, we still have one and two left. We're stuffing the rest of the AFC North at 3, 4, and 5. Here we go. Next up, let's go over to the NFC South. Probably the least talked about division in football right now. You once had Tampa Bay as number one in the league when they were the only undefeated team at 5-0. They have since gone on a couple losing streaks. They're now at 6-5. Carolina Panthers at 6-6. Baker Mayfield goes down with an injury last week against the Rams. He's now back this week against the Cardinals. The Carolina Panthers will be playing said Rams this week as well. But we are now looking at an NFC South. They'll have a playoff bid. Two teams roughly around 500. Am I making too big of a deal out of this? Does Carolina have a chance at this division, Colin?
I don't know. I'm a Carolina guy. Here's what I'll tell you. Carolina's got about 10 points, underdog today against the Rams. They're going to cover that 10 points. Carolina is a one-week-on, one-week-off team. They've been that all year. They get destroyed by the Bills. Then all of a sudden they turn around and they win at Green Bay. Then they lose a terrible game to Tyler Shuck and the New Orleans Saints. Then they turn around and beat the Falcons. Then they go on Monday Night Football, and their offense is completely lethargic against the 49ers on Monday night. Watch them go to the Rams, or they get at home, but play against the Rams and play well. Can they win that division? I mean, I'd be blown away. If that team gets a home playoff game, boy, that NFC top-ranked wildcard team is going to be a happy camper. Whether that be, the Seattle Seahawks. If the Seattle Seahawks find out that instead of going to the Bears, they're going to go to the Carolina Panthers, they're going to be happy campers. Happy campers. I don't know if they'll win the division. I still think it's Tampa's to lose. They got head-to-heads. Tampa knows the big game they got to win. Has Tampa kind of fallen apart? Yes. Are they taped together? Yes. But with the Buccaneers, they got the Cardinals today. They get the Saints still. They still have to deal with the Dolphins, Panthers twice. They got an easy schedule. So they just need to win about 3-4 games, and including especially hopefully both of those Panther games, maybe one. But they have an easier schedule, a more doable schedule. And Carolina's been a little bit more erratic. Tampa Bay, I think the question has been getting them healthy. And they're clearly not healthy. They're still not healthy. But they have more talent. And they have a little bit of that playoff pedigree where they just want to win their division. They've won their division with 9-10 games before, just snuck into the postseason. It's all about getting there. That's all they care about right now. Get there, get there moderately healthy, go from there. This could be number two. I'm going to leave number one open.
All right, sounds good. And this is not because I'm a homer, but this is because you said it was the biggest game of today, even though we had four great games before. But let's go back to that Indianapolis Colts-Houston Texans game, the 1 o'clock slate in Indianapolis. Not just about the worries about Daniel Jones, but C.J. Stroud is getting his first start since that loss against the Denver Broncos. Davis Mills comes in, wins three straight games for the Texans, puts them back in the playoff picture. Now C.J. Stroud is back, going against a divisional rival who they will have to play again later this year. This, to me, is the biggest game of today, not just because I'm a Texans fan, but because these are two teams in the same division, both with winning records, who could choose their own fates when it comes to the AFC playoff picture. What are you looking forward to most, not just as a Jaguars fan yourself, but also as an NFL fan, when you got these two, honestly, an unspoken rivalry in the NFL in general, playing today at 1 o'clock in Indy?
Yeah, if the Texans win, it's better for the league. Texans win, it makes that division very interesting. It makes it a three-horse race. So I'm looking now. This is number one. This is clearly number one. But I would say that seeing the Texans beat the Colts today would make the NFL, that division, very interesting the rest of the way, because the Colts have four divisional games, including today, still to go. And because of that, you'd like to see Houston win, put a little pressure on Indianapolis. Now all of a sudden Jacksonville has to continue winning their games because they already played the Texans twice. That division, it's anybody's game right now, because the Colts have the harder schedule, but they have the best record. Jacksonville's got the easiest schedule, but they're probably the most erratic. And Houston's probably get the best part of their team in terms of the defense, but they're probably on the most outside looking in. Three team race there. This is going to be number one. That was your headline, hierarchy.
Yeah, I will say, not bad too. Houston, Indy, NFC South, Steelers, Ravens, Shador. Pretty good job.
Yeah, I like that. I think we did a good job there. I think we nailed that. All right. Perfect. That's 1 through 5 in the headline hierarchy. On the other side of things, we're going to be doing a little blitz the book. Stick around for it. Make our picks, sending you off into your Week 13 Sunday slate. It's Sunday Hard Rock, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Punch right, Zach. 15 tip scissors. Can it to 300 jet F stick. X has got a quick high corner. Be ready to keep attacking.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. You can download the Hard Rock Bet app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, and you could go check out the Discover page and see other users' bets, whether that be parlays, props, futures, you name it, they have it. That's profit boosts that you could do for the Sunday slate of games, or you could do futures, you could do college football playoff games, you could do the NBA, college basketball in full swing right now. Everything's available on the Hard Rock Bet app. If you bet just $5 in the app, you bet it on anything, you win that first $5 bet, then you immediately get $150 in bonus bets that you can play with immediately. Go refer a friend and get an additional $50. That's $200 right then and there that you can play with as playoff implication season is upcoming in college football especially. Go get started on the Hard Rock Bet app and check out Discover Mates. Put together some parlays. It's all to be. Kate and I are about to make our picks. You could do yours too. Do it today. Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms, conditions, apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. All right, Cade, let's blitz the book, put together our four picks with a Week 13 slate of games. All right, blitz the book, Hard Rock Bet. How we're going to do this is Cade and I make four picks. We make four picks, all three of which are against the spread, and we're going to do it draft style, so one of which is worth 1 point, 2 points, and 3 points subsequent. And then after that, we're going to make a four-point worth player prop that has to be plus money from any of the games. Cade Chumsen, what happened last week? It was myself and Damian Perez, too. So you're going to be picking for yourself just about this week. What's going on?
Yeah, you guys did both pretty well. You scored 6, Damian scored 3, so the total for the season, you are at 59, I'm at 67. We've kind of been within this 8 to 10 point range for about 7 weeks or so. One of us is probably going to crack this thing open or make it really close. I'm very excited, but that means you will have first pick this week.
Yeah, first pick this week, I'm going to take Denver on the road. They're a 6-point road favorite. They're coming off a bye, and they're looking at that AFC number one overall seed. I'm going to take them today at Washington. No Jaden Daniels. A lot of injuries once again. McLaurin might not play. 820 in Washington. Give me Denver minus 6. That'll be my 1-pointer.
This could be a trap game, but I'm going to go Atlanta minus 3 on the road against the Jets. Liked how Kirk Cousins played against the Saints last week. I think he's finding his stride. I don't believe they have Drake London today, but that dual running back threat of Bijan and Tyler Algier should do just fine against that Jets defense.
I'm taking Houston plus 3 on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. Why am I taking this? Because Houston is coming off a long week. They have a great defense, and they know that their game plan, I can tell you right now, I'm not even a part of the league meetings. Their goal is make Daniel Jones beat you. We don't know if Daniel Jones can move. Make him beat you. They're going to put 9 people in that box with Jonathan Taylor consistently. This is going to be Daniel Jones's and Daniel Jones's only game to win. And if he is hurt, I do not like their chances. Give me Houston plus 3 as my 2-pointer.
And you know Indianapolis is going to do the same thing for C.J. Stroud. We'll see which quarterback comes up clutch today. I'm going to go with... Give me Tampa Bay minus 3.5 against the Cardinals. A game that they need with Carolina down their backs. Baker Mayfield is supposed to play today, but expect a lot of the rushing game with Bucky Irving back and Sean Tucker playing out of his mind this season. A lot of run-heavy stuff for Tampa Bay today, but I like them minus 3.5.
I'm going to take Carolina as my 3-pointer, plus 10.5. I'm willing to put all my cards on the table, plus 10.5. It's a lot of points at home, and I think Carolina, this is the type of game where it's going to be Rams escape 17-13. Going to be an ugly one. Give me the Carolina as my 3-pointer.
What was that over-under for you this year? Where are they at right now at 6-6?
So they got 6 wins. I need them to get 8.
Oh, okay.
With five to play.
Woo! Coming down to the wire for Carolina.
I need them to get 7. I need them to get 1 more. Excuse me.
Okay. That's a lot better for Carolina coming down the stretch. Give me Buffalo minus 3. I think this is a blowout for the Bills against Pittsburgh today. Aaron Rodgers coming off an injury. Poor offensive line play. Buffalo at 7-4 on a long week. Off a loss. They're coming for blood today at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the game I was looking at in terms of player prop was actually that San Francisco 49er and the Brown game. because Brock Purdy, people are hating on Brock Purdy. For him to get 2+ passing touchdowns, it's plus 145. 2+. So all I need is 2 passing touchdowns, and that's plus money. I think the Niners are going to play well. I think they need a little bit of a get-right week, especially after Purdy had a bad game last week. Give me Brock Purdy to record 2+ passing touchdowns against the Browns.
I already mentioned it, how the rushing attack should be strong for Tampa Bay today. It's going to be a dual running back system, but Bucky Irving in his first game back, I think at least puts up some yards. Over 50 yards, if you make that prop specific on the Hard Rock Bet app, is plus 185 today. So give me over 50 rushing yards for Bucky Irving and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That was our Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. All right, Cade, sending you off into your week 13. We didn't have as many games to choose from as last week. If you missed any of the program today, go listen back or go watch back on our social medias at ESPN West Palm, ESPN South Florida on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X, or check it out on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just go to Sunday Huddle. Cade Chumsen, I appreciate you keeping us up over the airwaves. We'll be back at it with regularly local programming tomorrow, starting with Theoretically Speaking 2-4 weekdays. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for Russo and Rizzo 4 to 6 p.m. on the weekdays. It's been Colin Russo saying so long. Enjoy the football. We'll see you next time right here at Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.